Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marks and Reese. The day after the Eagles season is over. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese is not here today. I'm joined by John Johnson. Jan.
Hey, John.
Hey, buddy.
I'm thinking of our good friend.
So if you're a listener to the show, Ike was not here last Thursday and Friday, and he's not here today as well. Over the weekend, his mother had passed away. She had fallen ill late last week, and Ike went out to be with her, and she had passed away this weekend. So obviously, our heart is heavy. Thoughts and prayers to Ike and his entire family, his brothers, his kids, everybody in Ike's family. We, it's sad. We're thinking about Ike. I don't want to comment on when he's going to return. Frankly, I'm not really sure. But, John, I know you've known Ike a long time, and we all know how much his mom meant to him. And I haven't lost my mom or dad yet, and I'm fortunate for that. And when something like this happens, it gets my mind wandering a little bit. So obviously, Ike, we're thinking about you, pal, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. I've known Ike, my goodness, I've worked with Ike for, I think, 14 years now, and I consider him a really good friend. He's just a great down-to-earth individual, as you hear each and every day on the afternoon show. And when you hear something like this, Ike's a very private guy. He doesn't want to have to share everything.
Right.
And when you hear this, you're like, my goodness, and your heart goes out to him. So, when I do see him next, of course, I'll be sure to give him the biggest hug I can.
Exactly right. All right, so we have a football game from yesterday to talk about Jan Johnson.
Why?
So listen, this was my biggest worry. If you listened all last week, my biggest worry was that they would get blown out, that the quarterback would come out and look inept. And by the way, this game is so much bigger than just Jalen Hurts. Because frankly, if you listen to me and you listen to me this football season and in the offseason, I had major question marks about Jalen Hurts. I had major question marks about Jalen Hurts on Friday. I have major question marks about Jalen Hurts today. What you saw yesterday, for the most part, really hadn't changed or anything the way I feel about Jalen Hurts. He is a quarterback that is going to play in the NFL and has skills to be an NFL quarterback. How good of a quarterback can he be? I don't know. But he was a rookie quarterback in his first playoff game yesterday that had a horrible head coaching and offensive game plan from Nick Sirianni, that had a bad defense from the start, and they sucked from the start yesterday. And he played terribly. I mean, everything that you were looking to see from Jalen Hurts yesterday to make you feel better, because that's really what it comes down to. You wanted to feel better that Jalen Hurts is the guy going forward, that everything's fine with this team, that you don't have to worry about looking for a quarterback, that everything's set, and this team's good going forward, and now you can build. And frankly, after watching yesterday's game, I think a lot of people, John Johnson, are going to say, man, what do we really have here? Man, was this really a successful season?
I don't think many realize how dire the Eagles situation now falls. Like, we went through a nice winning streak. Sure, it was some of the dreck of the NFL, but they handily beat them despite some slow starts. And we went into this playoff matchup. I don't know how you felt in terms of what you thought they would win or lose, but I expected them to lose. However, if they did what they did best, they made some adjustments but fell to a better team, I thought we would be able to find out, all right, well, they do this, they do this. This guy's going to stay. This guy's not going anywhere. Now we know who to fill in the missing pieces. That was one of the most atrocious playoff performances I've seen from an Eagles team in a very long time. The head coach, what was Nick Sirianni doing? What was his game plan all week other than to show the motivational videos? He clearly didn't show him any film. He clearly didn't look at him himself. There was no rhyme or reason to anything that he did. And then, of course, is the quarterback. That was one of the worst performances I've seen from Jalen Hurts. He did nothing good in that game. There's not a single moment where I can say, well, at least he did this. He was horrible. And all the doubts. You know, one of the great things is we've gone back and forth for, boy, the whole season about the future of who the quarterback is of the Philadelphia Eagles. And whether you were pro Jalen Hurts or not, you could at least say, well, I can see potential there. I can see why he would be, you know, with more time, maybe a franchise quarterback. That's all out the window now. In my opinion, it's all out the window. He did everything wrong, and he showed why he was drafted potentially to be a backup. And then there's the defense coordinator, there's the special teams. Nothing was good from that game.
How about Jalen Reagor?
Oh, John, I swear to God, I have one question about him. Yeah. I can complain about him all show long. Who said keep him in the game? Who said let him play to begin with? But then after he muffs a punt, makes a mistake or two, who said keep him in all four quarters and then continue to target him?
Well, we're going to discuss all of that, and we open up the phone lines as we take phone calls in the first segment at 215-592-9494. It is
what did we learn this season?
215-592-9494. So let me try to – because I'm not as emotional as a lot of people today. Because so I don't I want to hear the emotion. I want people that are furious. I want to hear it, right? Like, I want to hear the raw emotion. I want to hear how pissed off you are.
24
right?
hours isn't enough time to get over something like that.
But here's the thing, right? Like, and I thought the Eagles were going to lose. I thought it was going to be a more competitive game. But I thought they were going to lose. I thought it would be a close game. Ultimately, I thought Tampa Bay was going to be too much. Jack Fritz is with us back at the studio today, and he said this when we were talking before the show.
Hmm.
Why did it take so long for a team to put 8 or 9 in the box and say, you're not going to beat us by running the football? Jalen Hurts beat us with his arm. And this is what I've been saying for I don't know how many weeks, all right? I've been shouted down. I've been told I'm negative. I've been told all these other things, right? Like, you can't run the football to win in the NFL. You can't. You can't just say, no, we're going to play defense. Which, by the way, they don't have a good defense. And,
yeah.
and you have to run the ball, right? The Bucs yesterday gave you a blueprint on what teams are going to try to do if you try to run the football, which is they're not going to let you run the football. Now it comes to where you have to throw the ball. Jalen Hurts has one NFL wide receiver, and then Quez Watkins, who's probably will be a good third wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good tight end in Dallas Goedert that also doesn't have reliable hands and drops a lot of balls. So I guess he's not reliable, all right? And you have a head coach who is a rookie that his idea of what he was going to do in the first half was to throw to Dallas Goedert. Hot and heavy to Dallas Goedert. And when that didn't work, he had no answer.
No.
And then in the second half, he went to Devontae Smith. And the game was over. The game was over. It was 31-0. Don't give me they scored 2 touchdowns. I don't care about that. They shouldn't get credit for those 2 touchdowns, right? This was a blowout. A blowout. But, John, here's the thing. If you were watching the Eagles this season, you were watching the Eagles this season. I was watching the Eagles this season. We got carried away with the wins that they had in the last 5-6 weeks of the season where they were beating the likes of Garrett Gilbert and Taylor Heineke and Daniel Jones. Actually, they lost to him. Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm.
Right.
Like it.
A bunch of stiffs, yes.
It matters. So there was some progress this year. There was some progress. This isn't a lost year. But, John, like you said, the major questions that you had about where you were as a franchise as far as the starting quarterback – when you say you don't know or those questions weren't answered, by saying that, what you're really saying is that he's not the guy.
Listen, when we went into this season, rookie head coach, really a first-year starting quarterback, by the end of the season, you wanted to be able to say, I know what they are. I can't wait for the future moving forward. And you're right. I know who they beat to get to this point and made it into the playoffs. They beat a bunch of bottom feeders. I understand all that. But once you get into the playoffs and you have really a week and a half to game plan for your opponent, and you can – I expected them to give it their all, make some mistakes, but capitalize at times. Maybe they would fall short. You didn't see any – it was non-competitive for 4 quarters. And you talk about, oh, well, Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay, they stacked the box. Okay. So they stacked the box. They prevented the run game. You're going to tell me Nick Sirianni didn't game plan for that? He didn't game plan for that? And I don't want to bore the audience with the different schemes that Todd Bowles has, but essentially he runs the same two things, which one of them is a cover three. So basically, if you run your wide receivers and they run a slant route and they come back, there's a good chance they will be open a majority of the time.
Yes.
Nick Sirianni did none of that. It took him till midway through the fourth quarter. That's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
That's criminal. That's negligence. There was no game planning from Nick Sirianni. It was the most basic adolescent game plan. Shame on him. As much as I have the doubts about Jalen Hurts now, the head coach is supposed to know what's going on. He's supposed to know more than his young, inexperienced quarterback. It's not his first year in the NFL. He was a coordinator for years. He was a wide receiver coach. He should know all these facets of an offense. And he came out with the most pedestrian game plan that Todd Bowles shut down on their opening possession.
Yeah, plays were there to be made. Passes were dropped. Throws were bad. Throws were missed. There's a bunch of videos going around out there in Twitter sphere or wherever that shows, like, look, he had Quez Watkins wide open. If you make this throw, it's a touchdown. He missed a couple of throws, right? Like, open receivers that were there. Poor special teams again. Aaron Tsipras, like, Shankosaurus.
Even the punter. Even the punter.
Cut him.
There's nothing good to take from that game other than Devontae Smith was criminally underused.
Poor special teams. Jalen Reagor. And, like, I'm so sick of talking about him because I know that he's not going to be on this team either next year or the following year. Like, it's a lost cause. The problem is he keeps going out there because they don't have anybody else. And having to return punts, like, you can't do it anymore. You can't have him on this team anymore. It's a lost cause, right? Like, having him on. So you have Devontae Smith, who feels like a good player. You have Dallas Goedert, who's going to be making big money next year, and he has unreliable hands. You have Quez Watkins, who feels like can be a decent player. Like your running backs are pretty good, your offensive line, and you have a question mark at quarterback. Guess what, John? 14 teams make the playoffs in the NFL. In 2021, seven of the teams that made it in 2020 made it in 2021. Mm. So there were seven teams that made the playoffs in 2020 that didn't make the playoffs in 2021. 50%. The Eagles have to avoid being one of the teams, 50% of the teams, that don't do what happened from 2020 to 2021. And does anybody really have a lot of faith or a lot of confidence that they won't be? This is a year-to-year league. Now you make some adjustments, and you don't play these crappy quarterbacks in the last 5-6 weeks of the season, and they make you throw the ball, and they say, Jalen Hurts, we're not going to allow you to run the ball, and we're going to hit you when you do run the ball, and you're going to be banged up. He had a walking boot on yesterday after the game.
I don't want to hear anything about the walking boot. That seemed like a built-in excuse when he allowed himself to be filmed the moment he stepped out to that press conference with that walking boot. I had a lot of faith in Jalen Hurts. I did. And I expected him, as the youngest Eagles quarterback to ever start a playoff game, to make mistakes. But when you're in the playoffs and you're facing everybody's upper echelon, you have to make the most of the opportunities when they are presented to you, however many they are, from 5, 10, 15 of them. And he did not take advantage of any of those opportunities, and that's very worrisome.
Quarterback was bad. Head coach was bad. How about defense was bad, too? I don't want to hear – and, okay, they calmed down. Tampa also kind of pulled back when they realized that this game was pretty much over. Their offensive lineman that went down, they had three straight drives that ended on a third-down sack.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get them off the field, right? But, like, the beginning of the game is the beginning of the game. You needed the offense to carry you in the beginning.
Yes.
That's what you – like, you needed a touchdown drive. And the fact that you had a chance before halftime, this is the biggest spot of the game. And this is Jalen Hurts. And we can complain about Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon in the defense, and we will. But this is Jalen Hurts. You have a shot to get a touchdown before the half. You can score a touchdown there. Somehow you're down 10 points at halftime, and you're getting the ball coming out of the second half. And you throw an interception that's as bad an interception as you've thrown pretty much all season. He was just throwing the ball up there yesterday, Jalen Hurts.
It was bad.
It was bad, and he's a rookie. And this can happen with rookie quarterbacks. The problem is the overall skill set. That's the problem. It's not the intangibles. It's not the guys don't like him. It's not the leadership. It's not all that crap. When you watch him play, you don't see NFL-type throws. I don't see NFL-type throws. I don't see an above-average NFL arm. I don't see a quarterback that really means a whole hell of a lot in the NFL. I've been saying it all year, and I'm saying it right now. Jalen Hurts may be your quarterback next year, but you're insane if you don't think the Eagles will be exploring their options this offseason.
John, I think the worst part of all, and we've barely scratched the surface of what took place yesterday, is that I feel like I've been lied to. I feel like this whole build-up to this moment in time was, we put a sheet over your eyes, and here's the truth about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now that they faced a competent team, and listen, I know it's Brady and it's the defending champs. They're not unbeatable. The Eagles
play great yesterday.
No, they did. The Eagles were all no. That was, and I've been trying to think about it over the last 24 hours. I cannot recall in the last 30 years a more uncompetitive, horrible performance by an Eagles team in a playoff game. I can't think of anything. There was no competition for the whole game. From the opening kickoff, the game was over.
Yeah, it was. It was. All right, let's take phone calls. 215-592-9494. Jack Fritz, I'll give you a minute on all this before we go to the phones. Your thoughts on yesterday?
Yeah, I'm actually really down today because, again, we got to search for another quarterback. You know, I believed in Jalen Hurts. I thought he could have been the guy. I mean, he can't throw the ball. It comes down to that. He's the quarterback for right now. But yet again, we're going to have to go out and look for another quarterback because he's not the guy. Like, I have to watch Burrow. I have to watch Herbert.
Yeah.
I have to watch Josh Allen torch Bill Belichick for four quarters on Saturday night. I have to watch these young quarterbacks that can make these throws, and our guy rolls to his left and can't throw the ball 10 feet. It's just like, oh, it was so nauseating. And, like, Sirianni obviously stinks, and everyone's complaining about Sirianni getting the ball to Devontae. Why do you think Devontae can't get the ball? Because the quarterback can't throw. He can't throw. So, listen, we can run our way to the division titles and a seventh playoff seed, but it means nothing. And this year ultimately meant nothing.
Now, at a certain point, guys, whenever you want to get into it, I'm going to tell you it's not about his mechanics. There's so much more to it. That's going to prevent Jalen Hurts from being who he is. Coaching is a huge part, and something about Hurts himself. But I do not believe it is his arm strength.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. Let's go to the phones. Mad Mike is our leadoff hitter today.
I like pain.
How are you, buddy?
So
Mad Mike?
I just wanted to let everybody know I was right.
I mean,
this is ridiculous. Like, this team is a fraud. This quarterback's a fraud. This head coach is a fraud. And, like, you eked into the playoffs because you played a last-place schedule and you beat COVID-ravaged teams that were playing, like, players from Little Sisters of the Poor. And I want to speak out to those St. Jalen zealots out there. OG Wade, Chuck from Mount Airy, take that and deal with it, losers. Like, this guy is a fraud. You spent all your time and energy basking in what you thought was your future quarterback, and he's just your future not going to be an Eagles quarterback anymore. This, like, I'm sorry. I'm done with this, like, wasting time on players that aren't going to have a future here. This quarterback's not a franchise quarterback, and Devontae Smith is not a number one wide receiver. He's a number two at best. Like, this team stinks. They didn't even belong in the same stadium as the Buccaneers yesterday. They didn't belong in the playoffs. They didn't. And you know what? I'm glad Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman got embarrassed on a national level, and I hope they deal with that and they realize how bad they stink at what they do.
Well, there he is. All right, Mad Mike. Thank you.
Thanks for your pedestal there.
Appreciate it.
Listen, here's you know what? I got to get this out. He doesn't have the arm strength. There have been a lot of really good quarterbacks in the NFL throughout its history who didn't have amazing, strong arms. It's all about – there's two things here. One, he's very young, so the mentality of a young player knowing his limitations or not, we have to find that out about Jalen Hurts, whether he will learn what he can and cannot do. Like that interception in the end zone, that's someone not knowing what they are or are not capable of. That's inexperience right there, and that's where a head coach, a quarterback coach, sit down and say, don't do that again. You got to know what you are capable of. Secondly, the head coach, Nick Sirianni, knows what Jalen Hurts is. So you have to design plays that utilize your quarterback who has limited arm strength that will benefit him the most, which he didn't do any of. But I will say to your point, John, it's been said a lot of times, certain guys either have it or they don't. He is far too slow in his progressions and getting off of his first read. And it points to, you saw the Twitter breakdown specialist over the game, throughout the course of the game, pointing out, well, this guy was open, that guy was open. That falls on the quarterback. It could be inexperience. He may never have it. Being able to read through it quickly, know what's going to work, know what isn't, and go through it mentally, which he has not done. And I think that throughout the course of an entire season, seeing no progress with that, that should be more concerning than his arm strength.
Yeah. I mean, still relatively young quarterback. Not, relatively,
not getting off his first read.
Still young quarterback. And what you saw a couple times yesterday was that he sensed pressure in the pocket. There wasn't real pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And he started freaking out, and he started running to his left, and he came back to try to stay in. And he just wasn't seeing the field well yesterday. He wasn't.
He wasn't at all.
And just let me say this. Some of these things happened in the first half where you make a big play and you get a score. That changes the dynamic of the game.
Yeah.
The fact that you can't score and you had that opportunity at the end of the first half to score a touchdown, that changes everything about the game. Now, ultimately, are you beating the Bucs? No, probably not.
But that's all right. It's all right if you don't beat the Bucs, but I'm getting to your
they
point.
They weren't competitive yesterday at all.
Yes.
They weren't competitive offensively. They weren't competitive defensively until it didn't matter.
I'm sitting here right now with the same questions I had going into the season, and that's the most terrifying thing of all.
Let's go to Joe in Trenton. Joe, actually hang tight. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese, John Johnson in for Ike. 215-592-9494. We're live.
So disappointed in Sirianni.
Yeah. Is that your biggest disappointment?
I'm an expert at football.
Sirianni.
You know what he did this week? You know what he did this week? I'm going to bring up a name from the past that everybody hates. He Gabe Kapler it this week. Oh, I showed all these guys a film of Rocky. Oh,
Kobe and Rocky.
And the Kobe motivational speeches.
Love it.
Right.
How about you show him a breakdown of the film and how simplistic it was for Todd Bowles to stop that offense? Did you look at film at all? Or did you just walk in and say, oh, we steamrolled the Giants and the Jets and Washington. Ah, we'll be fine. We'll just run the ball and we'll figure it out along the way. That's what it looked like from the head coach. He should be embarrassed.
He was clueless. He was totally clueless. I agree with you.
I don't want to hear about rookie. There was common sense things that could have been done that he did not.
He didn't react to anything that was going on in the game. With that said, with better quarterback play, it's a totally different game. A totally different game. Can't run the ball. You can't run your way. You were able to do it against these bad teams. You can't run your way to the playoffs. You won't be able to do that again. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls. Who do you blame the most for yesterday's loss? We'll get to everybody. Your reaction coming up next. Today's broadcast brought to you by Chigs and Pete's. Join a winning team. Chigs and Pete's now hiring all locations full and part-time. ChigsandPete's.com/careers. Back next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are an explosive offense, even though we're a run first offense. And so I didn't feel the stress until we went down, you know, maybe 24. I felt like we could play, you know, our game still, you know, where we were mixing it, you know, maybe passing it just a little bit more. But the explosive plays weren't there today. Again, anytime the explosive plays aren't there, I'm always going to put myself in that situation first. I'll have to see the numbers of what we were, but, you know, some of our explosive plays came on some, you know, when we were down and they were playing a little bit softer. But I didn't feel that press until, you know, we were down maybe 24-0.
Until you were down 24-0. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. So by the way, he talks about this explosive play offense. That was Nick Sirianni after the game yesterday. He has created his own stat that has the Eagles as having explosive plays. The 16 or more yards. Mm. They don't have an explosive play offense. They don't have explosive players. They don't have a quarterback that makes explosive plays. They don't have a wide receiver. Devontae Smith's not an explosive player.
No.
He's going to be a good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He's not an explosive player. Right, like maybe Quez Watkins, because of the speed, can make big plays, but he really has any of the what? How many big plays did he have this year? Explosive plays.
Quez Watkins, yeah. Two, three, maybe tops.
Okay, like, yeah. Tyreek Hill makes explosive plays, mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think everybody knows who makes explosive plays in this league. The Eagles don't have; they're not an explosive offense. So stop.
God, I got my own stat. Common sense decisions. You know how many Sirianni had yesterday? None. Can you? I'm something I can't wrap my head around. So they come out the game. Tampa Bay defensively says, you know what, we're just going to stack the box. They talk about the run game. We're going to stack the box. We're going to make them beat us with Jalen Hurts' arm. You're going to tell me Nick Sirianni didn't plan for that? Because if you were to watch the game, he did nothing to combat it. The moment the run game was shut down, he panicked. And there was no rhyme or reason with his play calling moving forward. Common sense tells you with a Todd Bowles defense – what works so well against them is your tight formations on the line, spread them out a little bit, and with someone like Devontae Smith, run some comeback routes, he'll be there, throw him the ball. But not a single one of those plays was used until the third quarter. How did Devontae Smith not get a single look until the second half? That's on the head coach. That's not the quarterback. I'm not defending the quarterback, but that is all on the head coach, who had no game plan going into yesterday.
It's Goddard. It was like his one thing he was trying to do in the first half.
Go ahead, guys. Just look for Goddard.
Yeah, it was Goddard, who isn't reliable. No. How many games do we have to have where the ball's sailing through his hands or he's making a big drop?
I know.
He has
some good games, then he'll have one where he's got cinder blocks for hands.
He's a good player, but he's starting to make the money where you don't have the drops.
It's not acceptable anymore.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not. Who deserves the most blame for the Eagles' loss yesterday? That's our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Support the home team. Shop Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville for the best selection of diamond engagement rings in the area. Online, marks-jewelers.com. For me, it's easily Hurts. Sirianni's right there with Hurts. Sirianni was bad yesterday, right? But also, like, Sirianni calls the plays. How much better would Sirianni have looked if the quarterback would have made some of the plays?
Oh, sure. There's
some of the throws.
A couple where the wide receivers were open that Hurts either didn't see them or couldn't get it to them. Absolutely. But I'll combat that by saying you're the head coach. You know what you have at quarterback. You know what he is and is not capable of, and you should design your game plan around that. And he didn't. The moment the rushing game was stifled, he was winging it. And he was running plays that aren't designed for a quarterback who has limitations.
All right. And today's broadcast sponsored by Chigs and Pete's. Have you heard the news? Chigs and Pete's coming to Malvern. If you want to join a winning team at Chigs and Pete's Malvern, go to chigsandpete's.com for details on the new Malvern location. Let's go to the phones with Matt calling from Pottstown. Matt, how are you, buddy? What up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Right. That's a great segue into what I want to talk about Sirianni and Hurts. But before I get there, that was such an overall embarrassment yesterday on national TV. I found no solace in the Dallas loss. I didn't even care at that point what Dallas did or didn't do. I was so depleted on what our team did and didn't do. Like, I didn't care what Dallas did. And not to get sidetracked, but am I the only one? I don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. Is that across the board or something?
He tried to give that one away yesterday.
Yeah, he did. Something about his face, that long neck. He's just that guy.
He's too good looking.
He's asking for a smack. I don't know. Something about him. I just don't like the guy. But going back to us, I mean, first, you know, Gannon should be fired by 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's bar none. No questions asked. That shouldn't even be a discussion. As you go to the offensive side, you know, Nick Sirianni's not going to take the hit. Although I agree, I do believe I put more of the loss on him than anybody else. But my question kind of comes to this. You know, a lot of people talk about, Seth was big on it, about banging our head on the wall. We keep doing the same thing, like something's going to change. How much of that is incompetence, and how much of that is between Sirianni and we know the two clowns above him, making it so that this is what you must do? But in Sirianni's case, I'm sticking with this because this is the type of team I want us to be. This is how I want to go moving forward. And the only way to do that is leave Jalen Hurts out on an island and expose him for all of his deficits. Because ultimately, Jalen, he can say whatever he wants at press conference. Jalen is not his guy, never was. So I think from Sirianni's standpoint, he would like to have the program with a quarterback that's under his selection, under his tutelage. He doesn't have that right now. So how much of this is incompetence, and how much of this is just leaving Jalen Hurts out there to be exposed so that change happens?
See, but here's the problem. And John Marks, this is why I got a big issue here. You never want to expose your player, right? If you're the front office, of course you don't want to expose Jalen Hurts, because if you have it in your mind, you want to trade him, you want to get the most for him, so you don't want to make him look bad. If you're a head coach, and this is something Sirianni preached over and over and over again, he will design plays that are built around the strength of his roster and the strength of his player, and there's no more important player than his quarterback. And when we watched that game unfold yesterday, of which we can find no positive to take away from, the fact that this head coach, when the run game was clearly not going to work and you had to open it up with the passing game in order to go back to the running game, the fact that he had nothing designed for his quarterback other than, well, drop back if nothing's there, just run, that's a red arrow pointing right at the head coach saying he didn't plan properly. He didn't put any – he's putting together an offense – that is not designed for the quarterback he has.
He was terrible yesterday. Nick Sirianni was terrible yesterday. The bigger problem is the quarterback isn't good enough. That's the bigger problem. We can focus on Nick Sirianni doing a poor job with trying to coach around Jalen Hurts. Let's focus on trying to coach around Jalen Hurts. Mm. Let's worry about Jonathan Gannon. Matt wants him fired by whatever time today or whatever. I'm not saying Jonathan Gannon did a good job yesterday. I don't think he did. They're the person on the team. Right? It's a good start. This year was a good start for the Eagles. Remember, we were expecting a 7 or an 8 win team. They got the benefit of playing a COVID replacement game against the Washington football team, which helped them, right? They played some really bad quarterbacks. The Giants weren't as good, even though they lost the game to the Giants, right? Like, the personnel on defense isn't good enough.
Yeah.
It's just flat out not good enough. I heard Troy Aikman say yesterday that, the Eagles' front four gets to the quarterback. They don't need to do a lot of blitzing.
You mean the second highest paid front four in the entire NFL?
Yes.
Fletcher Cox, $102 million, couldn't even sniff Brady?
Fletcher's at the end. He'll probably be back next year. He's still a guy that contributes, but not nearly enough for him.
Barnett contributed yesterday.
By the way, getting the sack when you're getting blown out, where you're doing the double kick, was that Hargrave? Yeah,
how unlikable does that make you? My God, you're getting trounced, and you get a sack, and you're celebrating.
And you do a double kick.
It's so aggravating, man. This is what I keep getting back to. I feel like I had a mask pulled over my eyes, and it was taken off, and I was shown the real Eagles, because I'm all excited, I'm delighted, I'm like, all right, just give it your all, and then I see them get trounced, and I see stupid, nonsensical, you got a sack down 24-0 and celebrating. That makes me hate you. That doesn't make me like you or support you anymore. It's like you have no grasp of the reality of what's going on here. You're looking at individual stats now.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you had the perfect mixture yesterday of a team that wasn't as good as they probably thought they were and as they actually were. And as we thought they were, too, right? Like, we see playoffs and we're like, oh, well, you know, they're a playoff team. Oh, they're going to be able to run their way into the playoffs and then in the playoffs. They can't stop. No one can stop the Eagles running. You know how many freaking people told me that the Eagles running attack can't be stopped?
Yeah.
And then one team stopped them by just putting an extra guy in the box.
Putting competent players in the box.
Yeah. So you have that. Now you're in the playoffs, right? Tampa Bay wasn't even good yesterday. Did that team look like a team that's going to win the Super Bowl?
No, they're not going to.
No, Tom wasn't even great yesterday.
John, please, somebody has to answer this question. So in the moment, you're like, all right, well, they came up with a stop. They're going to get the ball back. It's not entirely out of reach. They've had slow starts. And the punt goes to Jalen Reagor, who muffs it, right? And then remains in the game. Someone has to tell me, because nobody from the Eagles is going to give you the truth. Who said keep him in the game? Is that a front office thing or how he's like, no, keep him in. I want him in the game. He's going to figure it out. Or is that Nick Sirianni, which may be even more damning, that you're going to tell me that there was no better option? He's a negative. He hurts you when he's in the game.
Are you talking about on offense or returning
both
punts?
Both.
Well, who's coming in if you bench him?
I don't care.
Well, John,
you're going to tell me anyone isn't a better option at that point?
Here's the problem. Greg Ward was injured.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
He couldn't play. See, here's what everybody needs to realize with Jalen Reagor. And I don't believe Howie Roseman during a game is calling down to Nick Sirianni and saying, you better keep him in the game, because it just makes it would make him look worse anyway. The guy sucks. He's never going to be good. Can we just agree on that? The Jalen Reagor is never going to be good.
No one will dispute that.
That's
if what you are saying is true, that the head coach said this is my best option and kept him in there. I mean,
Okay, again, John, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. I don't think Nick Sirianni thinks Jalen Reagor's any good. You need players to play. You need 11 players on the field to play. Who are your wide receivers? If you're going to have more than two wide receivers,
who's my option after Reagor if Greg Ward isn't available?
I think you have one.
Oh,
you
God.
Tell me.
Oh, God.
That's the problem. It's a numbers game. Here's what I like. This game, earlier in the season, Jalen Hurts just talked about, was it the Giants game, flushing it? I ain't flushing this game. This game's not getting flushed, all right? I'm going to flush Jalen Reagor, all right? Because he's never going to contribute. He's never going to be good. I hope he's able to go somewhere else and carve out a nice NFL career.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
It's over.
Do you want me to be the bearer of more bad news?
What?
Is he not owed $4.5 million?
Yeah, he's the
so you'd have to take that hit?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Because no one's going to want to trade for this guy or anything like that. Yeah, but, like, you're better off without him, but you need players to actually play. You need somebody to fill out a roster. So as bad as Jalen Reagor is, and they tried this season
why did they keep him in on special teams?
Because Greg Ward's the backup punt returner.
You can't have Kenny Gainwell back there?
I don't know. I'm not telling you that you're wrong. I would never have Reagor out there. The bigger thing is going forward, he can't be on the field. Like, just bottom line, he can't be on the field. You can't have him as a kick returner. You can't have him as a punt returner. And sure as hell don't put him out there as a wide receiver. All right? Like, you have to move on. Even if you're admitting a mistake and it makes you look stupid, giving him another year of trying to develop isn't worth it. It's not worth it. Maybe he comes back next year. There's nobody that wants that. Joe in Trenton. Joe, go ahead. What's your reaction? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Good afternoon to you
all. Hi, Joe.
Afternoon.
John, I have to humble myself and apologize to you, brother. I swear I do, man. Because I swore up and down that you just wasn't feeling the team. You wasn't feeling Jalen. But after yesterday, man, reality hit me like a mother, man. You were correct all along. And I humbly apologize to you, man.
What was I correct about? Jalen or?
Jalen from the jump. Jalen. And I was like, okay, I'm not a OG fanatic. I'm not a, you know, Chuck or whatever fanatic. But I was like, okay, I believe in this kid. You know, maybe John just putting too much pressure on him. Maybe John is not seeing something. And I'm like, nah, John was correct. Like, he's not sitting in this progression. He's not looking at the field properly. I think he's not even looking at his first read. He gets the ball and he just goes for whatever he knows. Yeah. And I think that's so frustrating. And, I mean, like, honestly, man, that's what I call for. I'm just frustrated, period, man. I feel like, you know, yeah, I was one of those optimistic guys about the team. And then I looked at the four games that we won against terrible teams. Like, hey, we won those games, so what? But I look at it now, yeah. Oh, going 0-6 against competent teams and quarterbacks, yeah, we really wasn't prepared. And we really wasn't there. We shouldn't have been in that playoffs. I think a 7 or 8 game win season might have just been a success. I think us going into the playoffs kind of really hurt the identity of the team because we already knew what they were, but just seeing that just made it more frustrating. And it lets us know that our front office, we can't afford to trade these picks unless we know we're getting a competent quarterback or something. Because they really have a lot of work to do, man. I'm going to sit back and sit and enjoy the show, guys, man. I'm out, man. I got nothing left, guys.
But doesn't it speak to the head coach that, it's all on the quarterback? But you're going to tell me unless he has what you would see as a top five quarterback, we'll never know what Nick Sirianni is as a head coach? That's shameful. I mean, the fact that he's like, oh, well, what do you want me to do? My quarterback isn't capable of these things. I can't design a plan around what he can do. That's inexcusable to me. The one thing about Hurts, and this is what drives me nuts, I agree with everything you're saying, John, that he was a massive disappointment yesterday. It was too slow with his progressions, didn't look beyond his first read, all things you expect him to do at this point in his development. He's only 23, right? He's the youngest Eagle quarterback to ever start a playoff game, and he certainly looked like it. He is at that age where we have all seen, whether you're fan or media, with young players who have some level of talent. They don't always know what their limitations are. They think, I guarantee in his mind, he can be Aaron Rodgers. But everybody else is saying, what the hell are you talking about? You're not Rodgers. No. You're not even half a Rodgers. You have a specific skill set with the added variable of being mobile if the time calls for it. It's all about teaching him to know what he can and cannot do and utilize it in a game situation. And that's what bothered me the most yesterday because Nick Sirianni, spending a whole year with him, clearly didn't teach him any of that. It looked like the same game we saw when he stepped in for Wentz last year. I've seen no improvement, and I put that as much on the head coach as I do the player.
Yeah, you can put it on Sirianni. I'm fine with that. I think it's not abnormal for a player, a young player, in his first playoff game, in a game like this, to struggle, to not see the field well, to more or less kind of freak out, which is what he did in the first half yesterday, right? Like, we saw poor decisions, right? Like, we've seen a little bit of this with Jalen Hurts. So I actually don't think that's as alarming. Like, honestly, John, his play yesterday wasn't that alarming. Right, when everybody wants to say the Eagles don't belong in the playoffs, here's what we know about when 7 teams from each conference make a playoff. You're probably getting a team in there that's not very good.
Yeah.
The Bears made it last year. They sucked, right? The Steelers made it this year. They had no business being on the field with the Chiefs, right? Like, clearly the Eagles and the Steelers were the worst two teams in the playoffs, right? It doesn't mean that it's not good to make the playoffs, and it doesn't mean that you haven't made some progress. The Eagles made some progress this season. Here's the problem. And you want to blame Sirianni. I don't blame Sirianni on this. He's gun-shy to make throws because he doesn't have the arm. You have tight windows. You have split-second moments where you have to make a throw, and you have to fit it in tight spots. And he doesn't have the arm to do that, and he doesn't have confidence in the arm to do that. Period. When you see an Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, was Mike McCarthy a good coach before?
No.
Or was it Aaron Rodgers just that good of a quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers made him seem far better than he was.
Right? Like, when you have good quarterback play, it's easier to be a good coach when you have guys that have the arm to make throws that those guys are capable of making. Jalen Hurts' intangibles are great. His teammates love him. I'm tired of talking about all the great things about him.
No, there's a lot of...
that's all we talk about.
Right. There's a lot of players that are great leaders that guys get behind, but in the end, you have to show it on the field. And I get all
and
that.
And he's shown to be competent. He's shown to be competent. But as he's shown, when you watch him play, do you say, like, man, that was a hell of a throw? For all the warts that Carson Wentz has, and he's got a lot of them, and he may lose another job here. I don't know how much longer he'll be in the league. But when he made throws in games like the Washington throw that he got it to Miles Sanders, or you can think of a couple different moments where you're like, man, there's not a lot of people that can make that throw, right? Like, you still need everything else to be a successful quarterback, but you need that. You need to be able to make the throws that you're like, damn, that's the quarterback I want.
I agree. Outside of maybe the first half against Denver, I haven't had that moment where I've watched Hurts this year and I said, ah, that's the franchise quarterback. You're right. I haven't seen that yet.
And he can develop more, and he can be more comfortable in the next playoff game, and he can see the field better and all that stuff. And that's something I would think that he would do going forward. But does it matter if he's really not good enough? And I don't think he's good enough. I haven't thought he's good enough. I thought he did a really good job, and he made some progress this year. Now, if you're going to build your football team, you're going to try to build around him just to see if he's the guy. I mean, the bottom line is, John, you may not have another opportunity to get a better quarterback.
That, and that's where I look at Nick Sirianni. It's like, well, Nick Sirianni is an epic guy. What am I supposed to do? We're stuck in purgatory. No. Well, I have this simple game plan, and I can't work it with Jalen Hurts. If you are a smart head coach, who is Nick Sirianni coming off now his rookie year, so he has to learn and he has to develop and realize the errors of his ways when they are shown right in front of him. This is where a good head coach will make the most of the roster that he has. And he was wonderful at the turnaround, saying, you know what, our offensive line's our strength. We got a good stable of running backs. Let's start running the ball. And in the end game was the number one rushing team in the NFL. It didn't matter who your opponent was. There's still NFL teams that you're facing. But if you're going to enter the playoffs, which is a whole nother animal, and Nick Sirianni isn't new to the playoffs. He's been in the NFL for 20 years. So if you're going to enter the playoffs, knowing that there's a good chance your running game is going to get stifled at times and have nothing, no other alternative other than, well, I don't know what to do now. Let's just throw some plays up in the air and hope something sticks. That's bad coaching.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of problems yesterday. I would say the biggest was quarterback play. I'm going to get Archie in Ocean City in here. Archie had I heard a lot of talk about this morning on the morning show. Archie in Ocean City, go ahead.
Hey guys, 58 years watching the Eagles. Pretty long. I can't believe I'm that old. But
God bless you, Archie.
I'm doing fine. Thanks. The biggest thing is, in all my years, I never would think you'd give the ball to Tom Brady first. I mean, did they spend all week thinking about that, or? You know
something?
Win the toss. Defer. Thank you, Archie.
Normally, I think it's ridiculous, John. I'm like, why are we talking about this? It's a lousy analytic. Anybody can twist the numbers to fit their argument. However, the playoffs are completely different. The Eagles being the 7th seed, you knew they were going to be a heavy underdog going to win a matchup against the defending champs with the best quarterback in the history of the league. If you were to win that toss, I would want the ball first. And the fact that they deferred out of fear, well, you don't want the ball in Brady's hands at the end of the game. You really think you're thinking that far ahead when you're that big an underdog? You want to make the statement early and have Brady try to respond to it. I don't want the Tampa Bay crowd going bananas before you even get the ball because they just drove downfield and scored a touchdown, which they did. I know it sounds inconsequential in hindsight, but it did bother me at the start of the game that they didn't choose to receive.
I wasn't shocked, and it was the right move. Getting the ball first, what, you're going to get three and out and then give the ball to Tom Brady, right? Like, were you expecting a different result on offense than they'd be giving you all year? They've struggled all year early. So you want to get the ball first, so then you just give it to them after a minute and a half when you go three and out. I mean, you do realize that the first two drives, they had 7 plays in both drives, a three and out and then a 4 and out, and then a 3 and out after that.
Yes.
So, yeah, in theory, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, get the ball on offense. Go score a touchdown.
That's right.
Awesome.
Silence the crowd early.
Till you go 3 and out.
I know.
Right?
The
focus on this, like you – like
2020, yes.
The Eagles weren't winning this game, folks. The Eagles weren't winning this game, whether you had the kickoff or you didn't have the kickoff. You want the ball coming out at halftime. If Jalen Hurts doesn't throw an interception at the end of the first half, it's 17-7 and you have the ball. As it stands, here's the bigger issue, John, that you let Brady just march down the field.
I know.
On the first two drives, made it look easy.
And you and I have talked about the quarterback versus the head coach, and we haven't even addressed the defense yet, which was putrid. And they finally got some stops midway through, and that's because Tampa had lost 2 linemen. They were easing up a little bit because they knew they had it in the bag already. And that's when the defense came up with some big stops. I am very disappointed in the front four of the Philadelphia Eagles, the second highest paid defensive line in the entire NFL.
Josh had the illness, wasn't playing. You knew that was
a bummer.
No one should be surprised with most of the stuff that we saw yesterday. They haven't played a tough schedule. They beat up on bad quarterbacks. Guess what? They became a run-heavy team because they didn't have confidence in their quarterback throwing the ball and their skill guys. Right? Like Nick Sirianni, that's probably the biggest disappointment from yesterday was he disappointed me the most just because I thought he had come a long way from where he was earlier in the season.
Yes.
And he didn't yesterday. That's for sure. But Jonathan Gannon, like, anybody surprised at the defense yesterday that they got gouged early? That's what happened when they played good quarterbacks all year. No one should be surprised.
What are you going to hit me up with the truth for? Hey, couldn't I have been hopeful a little bit that he would have learned something along the way?
No.
That's what's disappointing,
no.
John.
No.
Do you not grow as a coach and learn from mistakes? That's why yes. So many are calling up enraged right now. Because even though many predicted a loss, it would have been far more competitive than
it was.
Well,
it wasn't competitive. No, it was maddening. It wasn't competitive. Today's broadcast sponsored by Chiggies and Pete's, the best in-game experience for the playoffs. Chiggies and Pete's, enjoy all your playoff action with your Chickies favorites online, ChiggiesandPete's.com, for a location near you. Other side, your phone calls, your reaction from yesterday. Can you flush it? Jack Fritz, can you flush this game?
No.
Flush it.
You know, John Johnson, are you flushing this
flush
game?
Flush it? What about? No. Flushing what?
Flushing it. Don't worry about it. Hold on a second. I was literally, like, you should have seen the nasty messages I got last week where I was just saying, like, hey, listen, you get blown out on Sunday. This ain't a success, and you're going to look at the season much differently. Oh, you're negative marks. You're anti-Jalen Hurts. How many people are flushing it out?
You know
today?
Something, though, John? But here's the thing. Even in a blowout loss, nobody you thought you'd be able to see something to say, all right, well, Tampa's clearly the better team, but the Eagles are trying. They're just not there yet. John, that was supposed to be the game, even in a loss, that the NFL is put on notice.
Yeah.
Ah, there. By the way, everybody, look out next year. It might be the Eagles making their comeuppance. Instead, they fooled everyone.
All right, Nick Sirianni also blamed what? For Jalen Reagor's play yesterday? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP live from Chickens and Pete's in South Philly. But hey, listen, let's talk about it. NJ Diet, up to 40 days up to 40 pounds. Say it with me, 40 days up to 40 pounds with NJ Diet. It only takes 40 days to lose 20 to 40 plus pounds. And since NJ Diet is a contractually guaranteed money-back program, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. NJ Diet uses bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work that balances your hormones where the side effect is weight loss. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to keep it off. NJ Diet is all natural, no shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, and no surgery. And with offices close by in Princeton, Cherry Hill, King of Prussia, and now open in Newark, Delaware, or from home with live online video consultations. Start your new journey this year by calling them now, 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com. That's njdiet.com, 40 days up to 40 pounds.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.